today, how the election night unfolded. And a warning, there is a tiny bit of swearing at the start of the episode. It's 6 a.m. I've been up all night, and that is one of the most dramatic political stories that I've ever covered. Absolutely sensational night for Boris Johnson and the Conservative Party.
This One Nation Conservative government has been given a powerful new mandate.
Sensational night for the SNP.
You know, Scotland has sent a very clear message. We
but
don't
crushing, want devastating for Labour to see so much of its heartlands wiped out.
That I will not lead the party in any future general election campaign.
And terrible for the Lib Dems.
For millions of people in our country, these results will bring dread and dismay.
I've just got one more thing that I have to do in our studio. Here we go. From The Guardian, I'm Anoushka Astana. Today in Focus, the night of the general election results. We're in Guardian headquarters and it's just a few minutes before 10 o'clock. Normally it'd be a lot quieter here, but everyone is waiting for that exit poll. We know that somewhere else people are scouring it at the moment. And I have to say, I've covered 5 elections and I don't know what it is about this one, but I feel almost a bit sick in my stomach. I feel so nervous because this has been one of the most uncertain elections in a long time. And you can see here, we're coming up to the news desk. I can see the editor, Catherine Viner, and I can see the entire news desk, and they're all stood up. You can almost feel the tension.
So as Big Ben reaches 10 o'clock, we are standing by with those crucial exit poll figures. Here they are.
I think it's going to be a small Tory majority.
Our exit poll is suggesting that there will be a Conservative majority.
Wow, that is a shock, isn't it? Everyone, all the polls suggested a Tory majority. Few of them suggested that.
The Conservatives on 368 seats and Labour way down on 191. Now, on those figures, we are looking at a Conservative majority of 86.
I mean, that is huge. If Boris Johnson has achieved that, and that is devastating for the Labour Party.
With this prediction, and that will be the biggest Conservative majority since Margaret Thatcher's third victory.
I'm with the editor of The Guardian, Catherine Viner.
It was a really shocking moment. Nobody predicted a result like this. Really high number of seats predicted for the Conservatives, incredibly low for Labour.
So right now, everyone is moving into getting this up. Andrew Sparrow has put it up on their live blog. Heather Stewart, the political editor, is writing the top of the story. Paul Johnson, deputy editor, can we grab you? How are you feeling?
I've done 10 elections, and this is one of the biggest ever shocks, to be quite honest. I think our coverage will shift once the night is on, and then the autopsy about the Labour Party starts straight away, doesn't it? It's a shame. I came into this place many, many decades ago, actually, with a Tory victory, and it looks like I'm going out, because I'm leaving quite soon, on a Tory victory. That's a great sadness to me, because genuinely believed a lot of the problems this country's facing at the moment lies at the root of the Tory party.
But it is a dramatic poll, and it certainly suggests that Boris Johnson is on course for a very solid majority of at least...
So we're just walking over to where the political editor Heather Stewart has just sent her splash.
First version of it. There's a number of other versions. It will keep evolving through the night. But
what do you make of that at this point?
We can't know, but it usually is. It's based on about interviewing 20,000 odd voters as they come out of the polling station. So it's a much more accurate way of judging it than most polls. And I mean, that was just a Labour MP I was talking to just there who had told me about a week ago he thought he could hold his seat. Now he's completely convinced he's toast.
What happens for the rest of the night now?
By about one or so, we'll start to get results that will give us a much better sense of whether the poll is on the right track.
Great. Thanks, Heather.
Be on the telly, lady.
Yeah.
Can you tell?
I can.
Can you tell?
Ranushka.
Yeah?
Hiya. Thanks.
to ITV.
And we're running.
Yeah, we're running again.
How is it going? Are we electing the monarchy?
We're electing Boris Johnson. Oh. The massive majority. Did you vote?
I prefer anarchy.
You prefer anarchy?
Yeah.
We're on our way to the TV studios. What should we be looking out for?
I think there are two things you've got to think about at this point. If this is right, if Boris Johnson has got a massive majority, clearly it means Brexit gets done in any way he wants it to get done. But do we think that it means he's going to be leading a kind of more right-wing Conservative Party than ever before? Or is there a chance that actually he's less beholden to what's known as the European Research Group on the right of his party? And then probably the bigger question of the night, devastating night for Labour. What does it mean for Jeremy Corbyn? I mean, presumably he has to go now. What does it mean for his project on the left of the party? There were lots of plans to try and make sure that they kept someone in place from that side of the party. But now MPs who have been very quiet in this campaign pouring out to say it's time for the Labour Party to shift back to the centre. And I think there is going to be an almighty battle now for the soul of the Labour Party.
Let's put that one on there.
Noshka's about to go on telly to get the microphone on.
All right, so just be one at a time, just clip those on there. All right.
Anoushka has been looking at that. What's the thing that's standing out to you so far this evening?
Well, just as you described it here, that shock is what we're really seeing, and you can see it in all the messages that we're getting across the political spectrum. So if I show you James Forsyth.
So it's 12:30, and we are starting to see the pattern that the exit poll is suggesting could be happening overnight.
Ian Levy, the Conservative Party candidate, 17,000.
And probably the most significant seat so far to fall has been Blythe Valley.
This is the Conservative Party taking the former mining constituency of Blythe Valley from Labour.
This is a seat that has been Labour since it was created in 1950. There's loads of journalists here trying to figure out what is going on, and one of them is our colleague Owen Jones, Guardian columnist, very much on the left. Let's go and try and talk to him. Owen, we spent time with you during this campaign. I mean, you poured your own money into taking trains all over the country. I can see how you're feeling, but tell us, how are you feeling?
I think this is a devastating result.
I just think this was not about policies about public ownership or taxation or anything like that. It was a culture war about Brexit, and Jeremy Corbyn's own personal ratings compared to 2017 plummeted the most because Labour was seen as indecisive and faffing about on Brexit, but they were stuck in a situation where I do not think there was any easy answers, and I still to this very day don't think there was any easy answers either.
But you know, on the doorstep in Stoke, and we went on the doorstep in Hartlepool, and we went on the doorstep in a completely different place like Winchester. Corbyn was difficult in all those different types of seats. I mean, clearly you want to fight for Corbynomics in a way right now, but do you think that there was something about Jeremy Corbyn that people just didn't want?
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, this was the problem, wasn't it? Because before the 2017 election, that seemed obvious, and yet Labour increased from 30 to 40% in the space of 2 years under his leadership. I think you're right, but actually the main issues were when you ask people, why don't you like him? Sometimes people couldn't actually answer the question, but a lot of the time it was they saw him as weak and dithering. Why did they see him as weak and dithering? They didn't see him that in 2017. Sometimes they didn't agree with him, but they were like, he's got decisive views on public ownership, on taxation, on tuition fees. You know where you are with him. Because of Brexit, which has dominated British politics for 2.5 years, and society is far more polarising Brexit than it was in the last election, infinitely more. We've seen that tonight. I think that voters felt that Labour didn't have a clear position on Brexit, and that bred contempt on both sides.
The results are coming in thick and fast now, and it is looking really bad for Labour.
Well, there we have it. Workington
tumbling.
Well, we are witnessing something of a political earthquake tonight. Darlington 2 has fallen to the Conservative
Peterborough
Party.
Peterborough in Cambridgeshire. This is a Conservative gain from the Labour Party.
There's clearly going to be a different view on this in different parts of the party. We've just spoken to Owen Jones. I can see Alan Johnson on the other side of the room, who was a very senior minister under Tony Blair. He was Home Secretary. He's someone who has been very sceptical of Jeremy Corbyn's leadership. And I suspect he's going to have a very different idea about what has to happen now. A lot of people are saying Corbyn's a problem. And if so, does the party have to move in a completely different direction after this?
Yes to all of that. And the fact that he's so abysmal at doing that job is one element. But the whole Corbyn thing, you know, the kind of culture of betrayal, anyone involved in previous Labour governments, such as me, a persona non grata, everyone betrayed the party. That element, which is a sect within the party, it's not the vast majority of Labour Party people or the many young people that have joined the party and really cared about Europe. Of course, Jeremy was always anti. He would have been voting with Jacob Rees-Mogg if he hadn't been the leader of the party. So all of that, we've had the little experiment with it. We had it in 83, which is the last time we had a disastrous result anywhere near this. But at least we got 209 seats then.
Why was 2017 so different? It was the same leader, a similar radical manifesto.
The thing about what's happened in this election is that Tories haven't made the same mistakes that Theresa May made in 2017. So Corbyn's now had a pop with two really unpopular leaders. I don't think Boris Johnson is hugely popular, by the way. And he's not just failed to win. We're going backwards. So let's go back to being a party that seeks to persuade people, a democratic socialist party, about the eradication of poverty and greater equality.
The membership voted overwhelmingly for Corbyn. Is there any chance that it's now going to vote for someone from a different part of the party?
No, what's going to happen, because we know how these people work. I was in the trade union movement before I came into Parliament. So there'll be this attempt to say it was nothing to do with Jeremy, nothing to do with the madness of this move to the far left. It was all to do with Brexit. And there is a genuine problem, you're right, about the membership, because many came in on the £3 membership. Plenty of trots came in specifically to get Corbyn in and to have this experiment.
You sound angry.
I am angry. You know, it's live on telly and, you know, you're here hearing it for the first time. Our fourth election defeat. Another 5 years, not just of a Tory government, but a Tory government that's going to take us out probably on a hard Brexit. And the Labour Party looking like it's kind of flat on its back. And, you know, we need to recover. We're not going to recover with this mob.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Josh. It's Anoushka here.
Hiya, how are you? You okay?
Yeah, not bad. Josh Halliday, you're a North of England correspondent at The Guardian, and tonight you've been in Bishop Auckland. It's been a devastating night for Labour. I mean, they've just, in the last hour or so, they've lost Wrexham that they've held since 1935, Lee that they've held since 1922. You know, round where you are, Redcar. They've held on in Hartlepool, but probably only because the Brexit Party split the vote. And of course, Bishop Auckland. Tell me what it's like there tonight and what's happening.
Well, as you can imagine, it's a really glum mood. It's like a widespread shock, I'd say. Bishop Auckland has never elected a Tory MP in its 134-year history. And it's just done that tonight. And Sedgefield is obviously Tony Blair's old seat. He used to have a 25,000 majority. They've just, in the last couple of minutes, elected a Conservative for the first time since 1931. It feels like something really significant is going on. And the two Labour MPs who've lost their seats here, Phil Wilson and Helen Goodman, they both basically conceded defeat before the results were in. You know, the writing was on the wall for them, and Helen Goodman said she basically knew 2 years ago that she was going to struggle at this election.
I mean, don't they think that their failure to listen to the Brexit vote in their constituencies is a problem for the party?
There hasn't been that acknowledgement tonight. They've basically been saying it's Jeremy Corbyn on the doorstep. It just does not go down well in the North East.
Jeremy Corbyn has just been at his own count.
All of those policies were extremely popular
in Islington.
However, Brexit has so polarised and divided...
And he's not apologised. Although he says he's not going to fight the next election, he hasn't said he's going to immediately stand down.
And I will lead the party during that period to ensure that discussion takes place and we move on into the future.
I mean, I don't know if maybe it's too early, but are you hearing reaction to that, or can you imagine what people are thinking about that?
Well, Helen Goodman and Phil Wilson have called on him to go tonight in the last half an hour. They've both said, not just him, but everyone around him needs to go. Phil Wilson said Corbynism needs to end tonight because he's been made to feel like an outsider in his own party. He was saying he's been a Labour member for 40-odd years and yet he's been accused of being a red Tory by people close to Jeremy Corbyn. And he was really emotional, you know, he was kind of, it was an anger but a sorrow that not just that he's lost his job tonight, but he feels like he no longer knows the party that he's been a member of for 40 years and you know, there'll be a lot of upset people tonight at what's happened to the Labour Party across the country.
Josh, thank you so much for talking to us. Get some sleep.
Cheers, thank you.
Scottish Liberal Democrats, 19,523. Yeah!
Wow, one of the biggest gasps of the night has just happened. It's nearly 4 o'clock and Jo Swinson, the Lib Dem leader, has lost her seat. She took the biggest gamble of all. By changing her position, she allowed this election to happen. She led a party with a revoke policy on Brexit that hasn't gone down well on the doorstep. And now that's her out of Parliament. Devastating night for her.
It's funny because I've not slept in about a year, so you'd think I'd be all right tonight. You'd think I'd be used to it. But...
Welcome to our broom cupboard.
You sit here.
Yeah.
Rhys Davidson, until reasonably recently, you were the leader of the Conservative Party in Scotland.
Yeah.
I know you wouldn't say politics was your reason for walking away, but a lot of people on your side of the party, a lot of Liberals have walked away. And Boris Johnson without them has got a thumping majority. Is this a different Conservative Party to the one you were more actively part of?
You know, we have seen the iteration of the party change in many ways. But I think nobody who is a politics watcher as well as somebody that takes part in it thinks that their strain of whatever party is going to be in the ascendancy forever. You know, it altered under Theresa May. And it has changed again under Boris Johnson. And we don't quite yet know in what direction he's going to take the Conservative Party. It'll be a thumping majority. And he will have as much room to manoeuvre as any Conservative leader in my lifetime. And it's what he chooses to do with that. So I hope that he goes back to being the broad, inclusive sort of London Mayor Boris that we've seen. And not the kind of slightly more narrow-casting Boris that we saw during the Leave campaign that was clearly targeting just one part of the country.
I mean, it's nearly 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I've been going for a long time now. And am I actually speaking in sentences? Because, you know, by this point in the morning, I'm not sure I am. But
you definitely are. And let me just tell you something that I've heard you say before, which... Yeah. In some ways, I always found quite strange, given your kind of liberal politics. I've heard you describe 1997, and I've heard you describe watching Labour win that landslide, yeah. And I've heard you talk about crying on that night. Do you think that there are people on the other side of the argument, not just Labour people, but Remainers, who will feel that way as they watch what Boris Johnson's got tonight?
Yes, I mean, people... invested in politics, and because politics matters, and it's not just the job that politicians do that matters, but it's about how people identify with a particular side or another. They invest so much in it, and there will be ordinary Labour Party members and supporters that, particularly young ones, who have never experienced in their adult voting lifetime a Labour government, and who thought this was their time, and will be, you know, they'll have had those hopes dashed. So of course I empathise, of course I understand, but let's not take that away from the fact that the electorate don't often get it wrong. Jeremy Corbyn didn't earn this election. He didn't earn the right to be Prime Minister.
The electorate in Scotland voted overwhelmingly for the SNP.
Yeah.
Were they right as well?
Well, I think the issue in Scotland is that you've got one party that dominates the big constitutional question, which in Scotland isn't Brexit, it's independence. And then you've got three parties fighting over the majority vote. So if we're still about 45-55, and we are still about 45-55, you've got one that completely captures the 45, and you've got one, and you've got it split three ways on the 55. But I would not be surprised if the SNP percentage total in this election was about 45% of the vote across Scotland.
You did obviously say that if the SNP would get over 50, you'd go skinny dipping in Loch Ness. Is that what we can expect soon?
Well, I don't even know which cupboard my armbands and rubber ring are in, but it might be that I have to look them out. We'll wait and see what the final result is.
And will you be back?
Well, I've not left. I'm still an MSP. I'm still sitting in Holyrood. I'm still sitting in Holyrood as a backbencher. So, I've stopped being the leader of the Scottish Conservative Party. My baby's still 1 year old. You know, we're still in the early stages. He needs me right now, but I'm a political animal and I don't think I'll ever stop being political. So that's a classic politician's non-answer, even at 5 a.m.
Ruth, thank you very much.
Thank you. This
path. And then we'll go to Oh, my
God. So I'm back in the Guardian headquarters now and I can see Heather Stewart, I presume, writing yet another version of her rolling story. Heather, we spoke 7 hours ago. The exit poll had just come out. It said the Tories were heading for an 86-seat majority. How has the night unfolded?
Pretty much exactly as that poll suggested. I think we might now be on course for a slightly smaller majority, but it's absolutely in that territory. It's a historic victory for Boris Johnson, really, which has redrawn the political map across Britain, including the Tories taking a whole string of Labour seats in heartland areas, you know, ex-mining areas, places Labour has held for decades and decades.
As soon as that poll was out, you said recriminations were underway in the Labour Party. Since then, Jeremy Corbyn has come out, not given an apology, suggested he will continue to lead the party, even though not into another election.
It was slightly odd, I felt, that Corbyn didn't say, this is on me. He said our policies were fantastically popular, which seems an odd thing to say when you've lost a ton of seats. And he also talked about how the press had sort of vilified Labour and given his family a hard time, all of which is no doubt true. But I think probably if you're a candidate sat in one of those seats who has lost their job and their livelihood, you might hope that somebody would stand up and take a bit of personal responsibility for it. But yeah, there's lots of devastated people out there. And I think the slight sense among some of them that Labour dodged a bullet in 2017, Theresa May was a terrible candidate. This feels a bit like the defeat that some of them feared then. The battle now will be about the future of the party, obviously. And there'll be some candidates for the leadership. Jess Phillips, we'd expect to stand, for example, who might want to go down a different route policy-wise.
And it feels like it's a night in which you've seen that loads of gambles that people took didn't pay off. Remainers tried to hold out for a second referendum and didn't back Theresa May. The DUP held out for a better deal on Northern Ireland. And now they've got the border in the Irish Sea and they've no longer got any influence. And perhaps most of all, Jo Swinson and the Liberal Democrats, without whom this election would never have happened.
Yeah, absolutely. They decided that they look strong in the polls, the Lib Dems, and they'd go for it. And Jo Swinson herself has lost her own seat. More than one Labour candidate has said to me this evening that they can't help wondering what would have happened if Labour had supported Theresa May's Brexit deal, which is a softer deal than we'll now get with Boris Johnson. And in fact, somebody in the shadow cabinet said to me they suspected if Jeremy Corbyn had been given his way, they would have supported that Brexit deal and we'd be out of the EU by now and then they could talk about all the issues that they're more interested in.
The Tories, probably because of Brexit, have unlocked the door to potentially millions of white working class votes that once were solidly Labour. Can a Conservative Party keep giving something to those voters in the future on domestic policy?
It was interesting in his victory speech this evening, Boris Johnson kept repeating the phrase one nation conservative. He keeps talking about himself as a one nation conservative government. He won't need to be in hock now to the right wing of his own party because he'll have a strong enough majority to do exactly what he likes. So it'll be very interesting to see how he governs from now on and whether he really does govern as a one nation party. And the other thing that will make a big difference, I think, to whether the Tories can hold on to those seats in the future is what Labour does next and what leader Labour gets next.
The counts are still coming in, but that's it for us tonight. We'll be back on Monday with a look at what comes next. My thanks to everyone who gave us their time overnight here at Guardian HQ and over at the ITV newsroom. This episode was a massive team effort, produced by Elizabeth Cassin, Josh Kelly, Hannah Moore and Courtney Youssef. Sound design was by Axel Cocoutier. The executive producers are Phil Maynard and Nicole Jackson. We'll be back on Monday.